Hello.
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 Where's your fancy yawn? Hello.
What is that?
Hello, Miss Lee.
Hello.
No, you don't do that.
No, I don't.
But I feel like you sound fancy.
Mm.
Just always.
Just, you know, when people have like a customer service voice.
Yeah.
I think I have my like physio voice or my professional voice.
Is that what you use in this room?
Must be. I don't do it on purpose.
Mm. Okay.
Mm.
Mm. Just who you are.
And then outside I'm like, fuck you.
Fucking hang on.
What have you been doing?
Oh, you know, bit of this, bit of that.
Did we do a podcast last week? No, we didn't.
No.
It was Easter.
It was Easter.
What did you do on Easter?
I've been doing some horse riding. So
you
I did
have
that.
Been,
yes, I have
been riding Eva.
I have. Yeah.
Is that what we say? Like,
I don't know.
I just went to a weird place.
Sounds a bit sexual.
Yeah. Just been riding Eva.
Riding the horse
Eva.
Called Eva.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been enjoying it?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Sometimes I feel like I want something to look after, and so she's like something I can look after.
I think most people have kids when they get that overwhelmed.
I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want it all the time.
You
want
to give
sometimes.
It back.
Yeah. Just like Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever.
And you have been comparing horses to children in behavior.
Yeah, I'm an expert now in training things. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a child or a horse. It's the same.
It's the same principles.
Toddlers are just small, dumb horses.
Give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. There you go.
For all your parenting advice, come to me and I'll give your horse analogy.
Go to Candace, the non-parent, like good with horses. She'll sort you out.
It's been a month, but I'm great.
Anyway, we have a guest who's almost wet in her pants already and trying to hold it back to the laughter because we're so funny. We'll make everyone guess the guest by her talking for a while first. Hey.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
No, that actually does sound like
it does, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is how you sound. Are you okay?
That's very disappointing.
I'm sorry.
We just had a big chat about how we sound different. Like
how
in
people,
our heads,
yep.
We don't sound like we sound on a microphone, like in the podcast. I think I sound like this is how I hear. I
do
know.
You not like it? Do you like, are you fine?
I don't like listen to it and go, ew.
Yeah. Did you ever?
No, I don't think so.
No. Because we're like professionals because we've done it for so long now.
Just
so
my
I wasn't
job.
Sure. Like,
do you not like it?
I just feel like it is what it is.
It just is what it is, yeah.
So I've not really felt anything's about. But Callie. I remember she like watched a video back when she was like five on my phone and she's like, is that what I sound like? That's gross. And she was like five and I was like, what the fuck? So it must just be built into us.
I think it is because like I can hear myself here and I'm going, oh my God, I'm cringing.
Really?
Yeah.
That bad?
Yeah.
I think you got a great voice, Kimmy.
It's very deep.
Really?
Deep?
Yeah. I think it's deep.
I wouldn't say
I
it's
like
deep.
It. I think it sounds good.
Okay.
I quite like it.
I wouldn't say it's deep. Not a bass baritone.
Just like a tenor.
That's it.
Okay, let's start from... Did you two know each other before you joined here?
No.
No.
For some reason, I feel like... No, did you know Wendy before you joined here?
Yes.
Okay, that's where my... I've put it
all
together.
We were just... I'm allowed to call you old biddies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't worry me.
No, I think you've opened the gateway and now we're allowed to.
Yeah.
Because they're now calling themselves the old biddies.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's okay.
But I feel
now.
Like they're just having a crack at me every time they say it.
It's like passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I think it's funny.
I like it.
I like it. I think it's cool. Like, yeah. Anyway.
It's true.
What age are you when you're an old biddy?
I don't know. I think 60 plus.
Yep.
I think you go into that old biddy.
Yeah.
You know what? Fiona's going to be killing me.
For saying that.
She's going to be real
angry. Real mad. She's always mad at me anyway. It's fine. Whatever. Bring on another reason.
I feel like all the old biddies have known each other before coming in. Like they've had connections with each other.
All of them?
Not all of them,
but
a lot of them.
There's been like little things like
Paula.
Yeah, Julie, Wendy, Kim, Paula, Fiona. Like they all kind of knew each other or knew a friend of a friend. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Now they're in.
Is it like just everyone's just really trusting of each other? In their recommendation to come to this place?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's and cool. I think I don't know if it started, it probably did start with Fiona because during COVID we used to go walking and we'd see Fiona and Julie knew Fiona from a previous gym. So I think she just said, oh, I'm doing this CrossFit now. And I went, oh, and Julie says, I'm doing it now. And I went, you're mad. And then now I'm doing it.
How long did Jules do it before? Because Jules will be the one you're closest to outside the most. Yeah. Yep. How long did Jules do it before you joined?
Probably she had finished her, I think, what were they calling it then?
We did foundations and then she did PT for a little bit.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So when she finished that first thing, then she said, it's great. And I went, oh, okay. So I came and I love it.
How long have you been here for?
3 years this month.
That's crazy. It's gone fast.
Three years. Yeah. Wow.
I just feel like we always say it, but post-COVID time.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, it has gone. It's mad.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, anyone who joined during or after COVID feels like 5 minutes, but also 75 years. So I'm just not sure where everyone's at with time.
Wild.
No, it's definitely gone fast for me.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's good.
What did you do before? Like gym-wise, fitness-wise?
I was.
How old are you?
65.
So like,
old bitty plus five. Got it.
So like fitness throughout the years, like life fitness. Oh, always been fit?
Oh, no. Exercise and I have never been good friends. So I had to at times get into fitness because of being a police officer, and I did that twice going through the academy. So you've got to have a certain level of fitness. So I would do that. I'd get fit. I'd do what I had to do and then take the foot off the brake again. So it was always start and stop. When I was youngster, I didn't play any kind of sport.
Nothing growing up?
Not really. I played a bit of squash and that was it. Yeah. So,
and is that just your family just didn't?
Oh, my brother was always into sport. He was into everything and not me.
It just wasn't
an interest for me.
Got kids?
Who, me? Yeah. I've got two boys and John's got five kids, so seven between them. Trent is 41 and Tynan is 36.
I hope they don't listen to this.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to tell them about it.
Don't tell them. We'll just post it everywhere and tag you in it all. And throughout like that part of your life, did you like gain a lot of weight, lose a lot of weight, go through diets, all of that stuff?
Oh, I've been
done it all.
Oh, call me the Oprah of Sunshine Coast. I've done it all. I've had my thin days, my fat days. I have done every diet I think known to man.
Yep.
Some better than others, but for the last few years, I'm up at the moment, but I've managed to sort of stay around the same sort of thing, which is good because before my first pregnancy, I was like the Michelin man. Honestly, I could not wear anything other than a tent, I think, and thongs. So I was
throughout the pregnancy.
Yeah, I was so blown up.
Yeah.
I did get toxemia and I was put in hospital and stuff for a couple of weeks before. But I was shocking. And I was, I think I was 97 kilos or something like that, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And then I struggled with that, getting the weight off. And then I did, and I got down to a really good weight before the second pregnancy, and of course, blew up again.
Just what you got to do. But you would have been, tell me the years we've gone down a rabbit hole.
Go, keep going.
The years when you were pregnant, seeing as they were 40 and then 30 something ish, years ago, did you have all like the rules about what you could and couldn't do? Could you lift your arms up to hang the clothes out?
Yeah.
That was fine? When did all that, like, what were you on?
But it's so weird to me, even food that pregnant women aren't allowed to have. And I'm thinking, when did that start?
Oh, so you were pretty loose, like it was fine.
Yeah, we were having
we weren't smoking or drinking, but we were certainly eating soft treats.
Definitely doing cocaine. And,
yeah.
Soft cheese, seafood, whatever. Man. But now people, I can't have that. It's soft cheese. Oh, okay. I'm pregnant. And I'm going,
okay. So we've tightened up in some respects.
Yeah.
And then, I just remember, I feel like my mum said something about.
Yeah, it was almost like pregnancy was like bed rest.
Yeah, it was like you couldn't do too much physically. Were you a police officer before?
Yeah.
Before babies?
Yeah.
Yep.
I worked right up. You weren't in New South Wales, you weren't allowed to initially join if you were married even. So
what? Yeah, so you were in really that weird. That
yes. Wow. It was very strange.
This is
back
the
then.
Shit I want to hear. Yeah. So if you were married, you weren't allowed to join the police force?
No.
Or was someone going to sweep you off your feet? And
if you got married, what when
who
you
who was going to make the man
officer?
Dinner if you were at work?
That's it.
Fighting crime.
you had to leave once you got married. Fucking back in the hell. Day. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, so I joined, I got married, and I had children, and it was like, whoa, this is new for the for the New South Wales police.
So you stayed? You were allowed to stay?
Yeah.
Yep.
By that stage it had loosened up, but before me it was just ridiculous. It was still discriminatory when I joined. Like, I did the same training as the blokes did. Everything, the 6 months, you did the firearms, you did the running, and you did the wrestling.
And it was all
wrestling.
The same standards?
Every single standard had to pass exactly the same. And when we got sworn in, all the boys got issued with a gun, a baton and handcuffs.
I don't like where this is going.
Don't fucking tell me this. I'm going to get mad.
I got issued with handcuffs. I was very excited about that. And a handbag to put those handcuffs in.
Fuck off.
You didn't get a gun. Are you joking?
We did not
a
get
handbag.
Guns. A handbag. Like, that's very helpful for a police officer.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
I could not believe it.
And everyone just thought that was okay.
Yeah. That was.
They're all like, pew, pew, pew.
And you're like, handbag over the shoulder. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's wild. So how many years ago was that?
I went through in 1977 in New South Wales. Yeah.
So how long ago was that? Like 50?
And we weren't even allowed to go. Like, everyone was getting their stations. You're going to go here. You're going to go there. Because I was the only girl in my class. You are going to go to the school safety program.
Obviously, because you need to be around the children.
So then I would go to schools every single day and teach them safety, stranger danger,
were
and road
mad?
Safety.
Were you upset? Or was it so
I had
normal?
An idea that it was going to be that way, but it still irked me because you have to do the same training. It's not like they just put me in the corner and did stuff with kids all day. I had to do the same training. I had to pass the same qualifications, but it was just totally different. So for 12 months I did that while the other guys were out.
And cuffs, yeah. Looking after the kids.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's the only experience I got with those handcuffs and the kids would say, put the handcuffs on me.
Holy.
Which, yeah.
So 12 months?
Yeah, 12 months. And then you had to go, I had to go to the women policing unit, which dealt with unruly kids and women that had been sexually assaulted. So I had to do that for another 12 months.
And that was only women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just women in that section and dealing with only women or children.
Wow.
Yeah. So you had to go through all those things to finally, I remember when they said, okay, you can go to Blacktown now, which was a western suburbs, pretty rough. You're
like,
going to go
God.
There now.
God.
Like a novice, even though I had 2 years in the police. It was crazy. And I had.
Did they give you a gun?
They did give me a gun. And I thought, whoa, I need some refresher on this. But it was good then. But everyone, it was still, it was unusual to see women in policing back then. Like at a station, it would be very unusual to see more than one or two women in a station full of guys, because I think there were only a couple of hundred in the police when I joined, in the whole New South Wales police. It was still a novelty.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like Jules said, was it you and her, or was she a copper before you?
No, she was after me.
After.
Yeah.
So what was it? There was something. I feel like, were you the first in Queensland? Or like?
I was the first policewoman, or well, woman in police in the Queensland police to have children when they joined.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because they initially said, no, you cannot. You've got children. And I said, I think in this day and age it's a bit discriminatory. That was 1989. I applied.
And
they
were like, oh, maybe it is.
And like, they, oh, we've never
thought
of
this.
Before.
How are you going to manage both?
That's right. And I sort of gave them a bit of pushback, and there was to-ing and fro-ing, no, we don't think we're going to let you join. I said, I've passed everything else. And then they said, you can join, but you must live in at the police academy.
Live in?
Yeah. So it was out at Oxley. I lived at Clayfield at the time. So they said, no, you must live in during the week. You must live at the academy. You can go home on the weekend. I think they did it just to
see. To, like, test you.
Yeah. Will she do it? Does she really want to do it? And I said, okay, fine. So I was place to leave the kids behind. No, I wasn't. I'm just joking.
See you on Sunday, guys.
You're like, I'm so sorry, I have to do this on my job. That's so good.
And so that was when you transferred from New South Wales to Queensland.
Well, I didn't. I really had a fair bit of time off in between because it was something. When I was in the New South Wales police, I loved it. It was great. It was very busy, and I did a lot of great stuff in the New South Wales police. It was, yeah, I was doing decoy work and undercover work and stuff like that. It was great. I loved it. But my husband at the time, the previous government, he was in the police rescue squad and he was injured. So they boarded him out as medically unfit. So he had to leave. And we thought my mum and my stepdad had moved up to Queensland. Pardon me. And they moved to Maryborough and I said, well, you've got to go. Why don't we resign and move to Queensland? And that's what we did with one small child at that stage. And then we thought, we'll go to Maryborough. I got a job in a bar as a bar attendant and I'd never pulled a beer in my life. But I thought, they said, do you know how to pull beers? Yeah, sure. Crap. I actually got pretty good at it at the end.
That's awesome.
But I did that for about 6 months and then we bought a coffee lounge in town and then built a restaurant downstairs. So I ran the coffee lounge and restaurant for 4 years.
Whoa.
In that time I got pregnant with my second boy and same as in New South Wales. I mean, if you don't have a job that gives you maternity leave, and there was no maternity leave when I was in New South Wales, I worked straight up until 2 weeks before I had the baby and I was back 2 weeks after still working because mortgages were 17% at that time. So I thought, I can't afford to not work. So straight back to work and no time off and here you look after the kid and... And it was virtually the same with this restaurant. We were working from 6 a.m. in the morning till midnight some days, 6 days a week. So it was hard with two kids.
Man, people were just different. They were harder back then.
Yeah,
we're all pussies. Whenever I hear these stories, I'm like, fuck, we're soft. We're just not the same anymore.
Yeah.
And then when we write our rosters, we make sure that no one backs up a night, backs up a night class to a morning class. Yeah. That's,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we look after that. Make sure everyone gets 8 hours sleep around here. That's important. You guys are working till midnight, getting up at 3 a.m.
Start cooking again.
Wild.
Yeah, so I did that for 4 years in between and then it just got too much.
Yeah.
And my first husband and I just virtually killed our marriage, I think, just working and the stress and everything. So when we moved back to Brisbane and we virtually were like... separate. We were in the same house, but it was pretty much
done.
We'd gone our separate ways, sort of thing. So then I thought, what can I do? I know, I'll join the Queensland police. So that's when I applied and started all that again.
Yeah.
So there was a break, and because I had a break, and back then they didn't have, you couldn't move straight up and go, you know, do a little refresher. It was start from the start
wow.
again. So I was in the class with all the newbies. And, of course, I was probably the oldest.
The mature age student asking all the questions.
How old were you at this point? Do you remember?
When
you
31, were... I think.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, all the others were 18, 17. Some of them hadn't even reached 18.
Any girls
stage.
In this one? Do you remember?
There were two other girls in my class. So it was good. But it was, they used to call me mum all the time. Mum. Can you ask if we can do this and that? Because I had a way with the instructors. Of
yeah, you did. There's a story to that, isn't there, Kimmy?
Oh, is there?
Well,
she was like, hey, this was in confidence, Candace.
The first time I turned up at the academy on day one, I remember this dress so vividly, a pink dress with yellow polka dots. Can you imagine? And I had
hot.
Yellow shoes on with it.
Yes, you did.
I thought I was... looking pretty hot. So I've trotted in there.
That's how you went to your first day?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Obviously.
Notice me.
Police.
So anyway, I'm there, I'm lined up and there's other girls next to me. I'd never met any of them. And she said, oh, my God, I wonder who we're going to get for our instructor. And I'm looking around. I said, I don't care who it is, as long as it's not that bald-headed, black-eyed bastard over there. And she went, why? And I said, oh, he looks mean. Okay. Anyway, we rock into the class and who walks in? The bald-headed, black-eyed bastard. And I'm going, oh, crap. But that ended up being my husband.
That's so good. good.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
So he was bald back then too, hey?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, nice. He had a little bit here, but I talked him into cutting that off.
Yeah, nice.
You don't need that.
Yeah. I still want him to join here. I really like him.
He's a good bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was funny because eventually, well, I don't know, I guess he liked me right from the start, but
that pink dress of pink polka dots, I reckon.
The yellow shoes.
Yeah.
But all the other ones go, oh, can you ask Sarge if we can play touch instead of doing this? And can you ask Sarge if we can do that? Sure. Sarge, can we do this? Yes, of course you can.
You can.
You do whatever you want.
The only thing he backed up once, because when the instructors walked into the class each day, everyone's supposed to stand up. And I thought, who does he think he is? Not doing it. This is not my first rodeo. So I'd sit down. Everyone else, these youngsters, would snap up out of their chair.
He was like, I like that one. She's feisty.
She pushes back.
And then he'd go, I think we'll wait for Mrs. Stanya to stand up. And I'd roll my eyes and eventually get up.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Rebellious, even in your 30s. I like it. That's the stuff I want to hear. That's so good. So when did you start dating?
You said nothing's off limit. Talk.
Give it to us. I had done my training and I was in what they call initial training. You do that and then you go out for a probationary year. So I was probably at the end of that probationary year that we'd kept in touch. Everyone in the class had kept in touch. And then we just realised,
maybe we
should take this somewhere further. So that's what we did. That's 34 years ago.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then all through, so how long from there did you stay with the police, like from there?
Queensland Police was totally different. They didn't send me to look after children. But I did do a fair bit of time just in general duties first, but then I went to do Juvenile Aid Bureau, which is, again, children, and then I did child abuse investigations. So I did that for a while and then I got a promotion to the missing persons unit. So I was there for a fair while. So I've done a few things like that, major event planning and for all VIP visits and dignitaries that come here, and I've travelled overseas doing stuff for the police and whatever. So it's been good to me, and I was in there for about 20 years. I finished, in 2002, the commissioner said, we want to see police in our media unit, because they just had journalists in there. So no one had any actual hands-on policing experience. And the media unit got sent out to all different scenes. If there was a murder, if there was a siege, a major accident or something like that, they would send out the media unit to look after the media, to make sure they weren't getting into places where they shouldn't, talking to people they shouldn't, and then providing them with the information that they needed to do their job as well. So he said, let's have some police there, and that's where I met Julie. She got sent there, I got sent there, and another policewoman got sent there. And that's the first time I'd seen Julie. I had seen her around headquarters wandering around, but we got sent there and best friends ever since. So
that's
23 years ago, yeah. So I remained in there for about Queensland Police for about 20. So I had about 28 years all up in policing.
That's a long time. And based on the jobs that you said you have done, all of those things, you've seen some shit. You've seen some dark shit.
Yeah.
Like missing people, child abuse, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that doing that stuff for a job has changed your outlook on how you see humans?
I think it can tend to make you a little harsher, not as soft. I think people do tell me sometimes, oh, geez, that's a bit harsh or whatever. But I think I tend to see things more straight down the line.
Just don't rationally?
Yeah.
Do you think you're a pessimist because of it?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, I still like people. And I think I'm a bit of a people pleaser. I like people to like me too.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually you know,
you're not like really harsh, No. Just like see things, certain things.
I don't get as, I get emotional about some things, but not others. Like I can switch off with certain things and just do the job. But later, I mean, there've been plenty of times in my life where I've just gone into that mode, do the job, and then later on you're thinking, oh, you're crying your eyes out and different things like that. But you've just got to get up and keep doing it the next day and the next day. And there wasn't a lot of support for police back in those days, you know, for any mental health or anything like that. It's a whole heap better now. But there wasn't back in the day, and you would just – that's why I think a lot of people got burnt out, left the job and had some issues, but – And it's not
I
so
remember
bad.
Talking to Jules about that. Not only was there not a lot of help, but being women in the force, you also didn't want to look weak. So even if there was help, that was – I remember her saying that when she did the podcast. It was like you just didn't want to almost accept any help if you were going through some things anyway.
No, and yeah, that's right. You just get up and do it.
Yeah, get on with
Keep it yourself or
– Yeah.
Jules would say, have a drink.
That's how you get your worries away. Right
there. Did you have any jobs that really did affect you mental health wise?
I think back in New South Wales, there was a little girl that went missing, and she was came from a very good family on the North Shore. And we searched for her for a long time, following every avenue. And we eventually found her. She had killed herself, but it was down in these rock areas, so she hadn't been found for a couple of weeks. So I remember having to go and tell the family that we had found her. Oh, it killed me. And I can still to this day, it makes me get teary now, still to this day see this family and the devastation, and it was just awful. And we stayed with them that whole day and halfway into the night, and we actually became pretty good friends with them after that and went to the funeral and stuff like that. Gave them a lot of support, but it was so sad. It was just – and such a beautiful young girl. So,
that's so sad.
There have been a few things like that. I mean, I hate telling people that someone has died. And I remember going to a car accident one, going to the family, and the guy I was with, the first thing he did was, your son has been, I forget what he said, fatally injured.
Oh, God.
In a crash. And they've said, oh, thank God he's not dead, because they've got onto the injured. And I will never forget that.
No.
And then we had to go, no.
Fatally.
And when I went to the media unit, we used to have to train the police on how to deal with people, how to talk to the media and different things. I always used to say to them, please don't say fatally injured, because all they're hearing is injured. And, it's hard to say someone's dead.
Yeah.
But you have to. You have to make it clear,
like,
because –
black and white. Oh.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I would imagine that – like a lot of police officers wouldn't even think about that side of the job, getting into the job. It's like that's like a part you wouldn't even consider until your first time you've done it.
Yeah, that's right.
You just want to help people and, you know, save lives and do all that stuff.
You do.
Stop crime. And then there's that other side of dealing with like a huge I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I remember when I first started at Blacktown, after going through all these children's sections there was a – going to a job where there was someone said, oh, someone's been dead in here for ages, we can smell it. And I've gone, oh, no. And they've gone, oh, this is your job, Kim, you're new. And I'm sure they were just doing it to cheer me up. But they pulled up a chair in front of this guy who had hung himself, and he'd been there for quite some time. And it was not pretty. And they said, you have to sit here and guard the body. We've got to talk to the neighbours and stuff like that. And it was this complete stitch-up.
I was going to say, they were razzing you.
Yeah, I did not need. But I sat.
Like, he's not going anywhere.
I sat there.
You guarded that body. Jesus.
I guarded the body.
I have never seen a dead body. Do any, like, does that, like, stay with you? Like, when you see?
Yeah, and the smell is something you never,
really?
Ever forget.
Like, really bad?
Yeah.
Like, it's gag at the smell of dog shit. Like, yeah. I gag at the smell of it. Like, I would probably pass out, I reckon.
And I'm a pretty good gagger myself. If someone vomits, I'll vomit.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's something that you can never, ever, the smell. Yeah. And when you go to the morgue to do the post-mortems and stuff like that.
Oh, morgues smell too, do they?
Oh, yes.
Do they? I thought they were all, like, like
the morgue, not so much. Well, there is definitely
they're like refrigerated.
There's definite smell in a morgue, but when they do the autopsy, when they're opening up cavities and stuff, ooh,
gagging even thinking about this. You've seen a dead body.
Yeah, but like
cadavers,
bits preserved
and bits of bodies,
whole bodies, whole and bodies. Bits, yeah, but they're like it's like formaldehyde. Like yeah, yeah. Same, yeah.
There's a definite smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it used to, our lab used to be on, what day was it? Friday morning, and then uni night was Thursday night. So we'd always be hungover.
Oh my God.
And then we'd have to go to lab. It was like the first class. I think they did it on purpose, like first class on a Friday. And we'd all be like in the waiting room, like,
You would.
And that's your own fault.
Yeah. There'd just be like a pile of students that couldn't even get into the room because they were so sick, like so hungover.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very, very
it's
silly.
Just, yeah.
It's a smell. Definite smell.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. That's wild.
Mm.
What is your, because we've talked about this a little bit before, your fitness. Tell us about your fitness going into the police force, because I know you struggled quite a lot with the initial testing stuff.
Yes. I was in remedial for everything. I was. I have never been a runner. Still not a runner.
But it's a mindset, Kimmy. It's a mindset.
Apparently.
So they keep saying.
Yeah. I'm yet to get my stride, aren't I? yeah, so I always did struggle a bit with it. But I tried very hard. And as I say, I was in remedial. I had to do extra classes after the day's work, come back and do the obstacle course. I was covered in bruises from that damn thing, jumping over this big pipe and stuff. You just had to launch yourself at it and hope that you got over it. Now, they're all very soft. They've just built a big cement ramp up to it. So you just run up that ramp and
see?
Put your leg over it.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, we just had to launch our bodies and up and down ropes and different things like that. But it was hard for me because... just wasn't fit, and I still don't have a lot of upper body strength. It is getting better though.
All this work.
Yes, that's right. So yeah, I did put a lot of extra work in to get through that and do the requirements and stuff like that. I was always good at dummy drag. I don't know, maybe running backwards my thing.
Pulling maybe something we should heavy. Just start practicing that. Running backwards,
doing dummy
can
drags.
You remember, I know it's a long time ago now, but what the fitness requirements were off the top of your head?
No, I cannot.
It would have been.
I know there was a set amount of time you had to do the kilometre and stuff like that, but I cannot even think. It's too long ago.
Push-ups?
I can't even remember what I had at breakfast.
Push-ups?
Yeah, we had to do breakfast.
We had to do breakfast. She's like, yeah, I was always at breakfast.
I was there first always at every day.
No, we had to do push-ups and a number of sit-ups in a minute and stuff like that, the beep test and different things, but... yeah, I wasn't great at it, but I did end up getting the all-rounder because I think I tried hard at everything, even
you
though
do.
I wasn't great.
So you cool. still try hard. Yeah, like do. I don't get to coach you much because you come early and I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
Come to my classes. Come train with me at 9:15. But when I have seen you and you've come when we've, you know, crossed paths, you work fucking hard.
Oh, thank you.
You always work hard. So you must have always just done that, even.
Oh, I think I'm basically a bit, little bit competitive.
Yeah?
Yeah. I do have a competitive streak, I think. And especially when I'm doing something with John because I really like to beat him.
This motherfucker's like 70 now.
Yeah.
He's 74.
He's 74.
Oh, no, he's 75 this year. No, 74 this year. Yeah.
Kimmy's like, I'm going to fucking destroy you. You bitch. I understand that. That's like a thing, I reckon.
Wanting to beat your partner.
Yeah. Well, it is here. Yeah. I've heard it so much lately. A lot of girls are like Sarah and John. Mm. They're in a deep competition all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think John cares. Sarah wants to destroy him. So I think it's common. Yeah. Pretty common. Yeah. You do beat Josh, so it's not a thing for you.
Yeah.
Running. He'd probably have it over.
Oh, he would definitely have it. Yeah.
Forever.
No, I don't even try.
You don't even try. That, no. Yeah. It's not.
So you're not competitive then, are you?
Oh...
with other people.
She's competitive when it actually matters.
Like,
I'm the opposite. Like I will beat
she's
you
like,
at eating.
Race it to the toilet.
Yeah.
Fucking, I don't care.
Like anything that doesn't matter. And then when it's an actual competition, like I just don't care as much. But she's like cares so much about the actual competition.
Mm.
But like when I try to race her home and drive and beat her, she's not even in the race. Like, you know,
yeah,
we raced to put our shirt on. Yes, like just everything.
Hey, but you raced and you won.
I did.
Like if it's a real competition, I would get nervous.
Yeah,
yeah,
and just throw it all out the window and do it wrong.
And you're like, oh, I'm not even going to try because I'm going to lose.
I'd probably just go out too hot.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can. I, in the times that I've coached
you're just
you,
going, I can't see you going out. You're not going out hot ever.
Oh, funny. What else you got for Kimmy?
There's something on me. Don't know what it is. A little bug somewhere. The next question I had for you, can you tell us a funny story about one of your undercover experiences?
Oh,
know
yeah.
This story.
I don't know the story, but you yeah. told me that there's a funny story.
I don't
story.
Think everyone has heard it yet.
They have. I've used it a couple of times in question of the day.
So yeah, it's like a go-to answer for everything.
Well, not everyone goes to the 640, Kimmy, so.
Oh, okay.
We're ready.
It was in Queensland and they had illegal brothels around the Spring Hill area. And they said, we want you to apply for a job because it was in the paper, you know.
Masseuse. Illegal brothel advertising.
It was advertised so it could be taken either ways, but they knew that's what it was. So they said, we want you to apply for this job and get it and then go to work. And I went, oh, okay. So I phoned them
I up. Immediately would be like, I can fucking do this. I'm going to be the best brothel worker you have ever seen.
Hooker?
Yeah.
Is that what they call?
I guess so.
They call, you know?
Hooker?
What were they?
Prostitute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I rang them up. I got an interview.
What did you say?
Do you remember the interview?
I do. I said that.
Were they wearing leather and smoking?
No, they were so nice. Oh, I actually felt terrible busting them, but. That was my job.
She was like, quick, everyone run.
So I rang them, got the job, went for the interview, and they said, oh, okay, now what's your reason for wanting this? I said, well, I'm a single mum, got young children, got no money, I really need to do something. This is the best thing that I can do for my kids. And they went, oh, okay. Yes, all right, we can give you a start. And they said, can you come back tomorrow? But you're going to need to wear something a little nicer than that. And I thought, oh, gosh, I thought I'd come to the interview looking pretty good. Have you got anything a little sexier? And I went, oh, okay, I can do that. Okay, so I go away and then the guys that were wiring me up for the next day and I've got my fancy clothes, hot pink top, a little black mini stockings, everything. I thought, I'm looking pretty hot. They're wiring me up. And then I get sent in. I knock on the door. Hi, I'm here. And, of course, they're a little bit suspicious. You're not wired up. You're not this. You're not that. And I go, no, what? No. They come in, show me, and I had to lift my top up. Luckily, they'd put the wire. Yeah. Okay. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, they're going to find it. They're going to find it. But they didn't. And they said, all right, now we're going to show you around the place. And they were so nice. And how's your children? I said, oh, they're good. They're at school today, blah, blah, blah. Okay, terrific. Now we'll show you around where everything is. And they're meeting all the other girls. And this is where we sit when the clients come in. And the client will choose you. You will go upstairs and go to one of the rooms. And then you'll come back to us, we'll sort out money-wise and you can ask for money and this and that. They go through the whole process. Okay. Anyway, we're just wandering around looking at everything and all of a sudden someone comes from the office and they said, do we have a Kim here? And they said, oh, yes, this is Kim.
Oh, so you use your real name in undercover?
In that part because yeah. They said, oh, when you'll have to choose another name, which I chose Madeline. I don't know why. But I was Madeline.
Yeah, you were.
I was. Anyway, so I went out and I'm on the phone. I'm thinking, who the hell is this? And they said, you've got to get it out of there. Your wire is broken. You have no comms with you. Make up some kind of story. And I'm going, okay, is he all right? Okay, I can do that. And then I put it down and I started crying because I'm son has injured himself at school. I've got to go. And they've said, why did you give the man a number? I said, well, I had to. And they said, oh, no, you shouldn't give the man a number. Oh, I'm so sorry. And
oh, my God. Thinking, oh, my heart is racing right now.
Anyway, they said, come back tomorrow. You'll be fine. If everything's all right, come back tomorrow. And I said, okay. So, again, I had to get another nice outfit out. Turned up tomorrow. And I only just got there and the buzzer goes and they go, quick, everyone sit down, sit down. And I'm sitting there and I'm
doing sexy poses.
Pick me, pick me, pick me.
And I thought, oh, do I want to be picked or do I not want to be picked? Anyway, I was looking seductively. This guy comes in, he's looking around. And you've got to say your name.
How many girls?
Oh, there probably would have been eight. Whoa. I think.
That's quite a selection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Madeline. And he says, I'll take Madeline.
Oh, he's like, fuck.
I go, oh.
I bet you the guys on the other end were like,
And they've gone, take his hand, take him upstairs. And I go, oh. So I've taken his hand and we've trotted upstairs. I said, you sit right there. So I'm standing on the end of the bed and I go outside and the woman says, right, now he's got to have a shower and then you can do all this, do, you know, get the money. It's 120 for this and 150 for that. And I'm going, okay, okay. And she goes down back upstairs and then I'm saying to them on the way, I think you need to get me out of here now. It's time. Anyway. They come and they bust through and it's so funny because I watched the video of it all later where they bust through, they videotape everything all the way up the stairs. They go into this room. This poor guy is sitting there still on the end of his bed. It's the first time he'd ever been to a prostitute in his life and it was the first time I'd been a prostitute. We were newbies together. I felt so sorry for him.
I bet you he never went back.
Oh, I feel it.
I did feel sorry for him.
And he never got laid again.
Yeah. Like, did you throw him a bone after?
He was like, quick.
Me in the street.
It just wasn't his day, poor
it
love.
Really it's
wasn't.
Still 120 bucks.
Police everywhere, they're filming. Oh. There was all
did they
money
know it was
the
you?
Floor.
Like,
no, they didn't because they had told me when we go through, just pretend like you don't know what's going on and they're going, don't tell him anything. Don't tell him your name. Just sit over here and don't say a word. And I'm going, okay, okay. And later on they did because they seized all the records and stuff like that. And it was funny in court because it was read out in court that when I went for the interview, they've got all the notes. And she's like, she's a very, very pretty face but she's a bit dumpy. And I'm thinking, ouch. Do we need to say this in court? Everyone's going,
very pretty.
That's hilarious. Wow.
Yeah.
How many undercover jobs did you do in your time?
In New South Wales I did more because whenever there was a rapist that would be, you know, like getting girls off the train and walking home and stuff like that, I would get called up to do that
decoy.
Yeah,
the bait.
That's it. I'd catch the trains, I'd get off,
oh my
I'd
God.
Walk. In the dark.
Did the bait ever work?
No. Oh. I'm thinking, what's wrong with me?
Too dumpy.
Too dumpy, probably.
You too. Me.
Hey, we didn't say it.
You both said it at the same time.
Oh, bloody hell.
I wasn't always dumpy.
You're not dumpy. You've now, never, Kiwi. No, you're God. Not. That is not a word I would use to describe you.
Sorry.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so I did that a few times. I also worked at 21 Division Gaming and Betting back in New South Wales. So we used to travel the state and close down illegal gambling casinos.
Wow.
So that was fun because you would infiltrate the casino. So they give you money to get dressed up, give you
fun.
Gambling money, go into casinos.
Put it all in red.
And you would be there for a while and you'd sort out who was who. Because once they came in, it would be mayhem and you'd already know who was running the place, who was doing this and that. And then they'd come in and bust them all and you'd say, that one, that one, that one, and because people would be running everywhere and you'd lock them all up. And also SP bookmakers and stuff, you'd go and catch them as well because back in the day that was a big thing, the betting rings and the illegal gambling casinos, because that was fun. So we travelled right around the state doing that.
That's so cool.
So fun.
Did undercover like really always stress you out before you went in? Or were you like pretty good, like pretty calm?
Yeah, no, I was always pretty good because I've always been a bit of an actress. And I thought, oh, I can play this role.
I'm Madeline.
That's right. So, yeah, I liked it. And it wasn't like excessively dangerous situations. I always knew there was backup around somewhere. So it's
Did it ever go like not to plan much?
No, not really.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was always pretty well.
I feel like when you see the shows, like the real TV shows of when cops go undercover, like everyone just seems like they got their shit together. Like it's obviously a lot of planning behind the scenes to go into it
heaps
before
of
you go.
Yeah, they don't. They don't really want to send you into your death or something. Yeah. So there's a lot goes into it, and a lot of backup around and stuff. And that's why they pulled me out that first day because they'd lost communications with me. So even though it wasn't a hugely dangerous situation I was in, they just don't want you in there, get back out. So it was pretty good.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
It was amazing.
Yes, I enjoyed it. It was a really good job and I got to do a lot of things. I got to travel overseas and different stuff like that, so it was good.
That's awesome. And so you're 65 now?
Yes.
And then so at this point in your life, when you look back, are you so happy with what you've done up to this point, and do you have big goals and plans for the future?
I think when I look back, I have done a lot. You know, I started off as a dental assistant and then a police officer and then a restaurant owner and then a police officer and now I just make cakes and stuff. I always love travel, so there's more travel, obviously. As long as the body keeps going, I'll
you
be travelling.
Fucking excellent holidays.
Do go on good holidays. Mm. Love travelling.
Always so, have? Or
yes.
More so?
Always have. Yeah. Always love to go overseas and travel and see different places. And so I see lots more of that. And I'll just keep doing it until I can't do it. And I probably would like to. I mean, this, I think Contessa has helped me. And will help me prolong what I can do into the future, and I think that's huge.
I was just about to ask, what and where does training fit into your life on like a weekly basis at the moment? How many times do you come to the gym?
I try to get here the 5 times a week. At the moment it's been up and down because I've had different things and going away and stuff. But when I'm home and when I'm here, it's 5 times a week, and I've been doing the 1 day a week when I can with the PT. And if I I like to do that 5 days. It gets a bit tiring at the end of the week, but I think it's good for me.
Think or have you seen improvements in the 3 years?
I've seen huge improvements. I mean, I think I'd get to the end of the driveway previously and I'd be going like that. So definitely a lot fitter, a lot stronger. I mean, I'm always going to get things going wrong with hips and knees and shoulders and whatever else, but that's just the name of the game. I'm getting old. That's what happens. But if I can keep the muscles strong, I think you can keep your body going a lot longer. So that's what I'm hoping to do. Keep it going longer.
Love it. And how long do you want to keep training here for?
Oh, till you kick me out. You are a risk to us here. We cannot have you doing that anymore.
I just feel like we've got enough paramedics, doctors, physios.
Well, you do. You do have enough people, isn't
as
it?
As long as, like, I pretty much assess every class and know that someone can take an emergency off my hands, we're good. Everyone's fine.
We're good to go.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah, as long as that Oxyviva or whatever is on. Although my heart's really good now. I just had that checked. It's fine.
Yeah.
Good to go.
We've got the AED and we'll get in an update tomorrow. For a CPR.
Oh, that's,
so, you know, we're going to be all sorted for another year.
Yeah.
So we should be sweet.
Excellent. Well, I'll just
old
keep
Betty's
coming.
Kick on.
Yeah. I'll just keep going.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's great.
No, I love it. I love it. I love you guys. I love all the people that come here. It's just great. It's just opened up my life to so many other different things and so many other people. You know, there's the 640 group and the over 50s group and we catch up and we meet up and it's just terrific.
That's really cool.
So it's a bonus, isn't it, to the actual fitness to have all these great people in your life.
I just love one thing I love about CrossFit gyms is everyone comes from a different place outside, but when you're all in here, you're all doing something that's all aligned.
Yeah.
But the background could be so different. Like I remember, who was it?
I always like pointed out if I see it. I said to Candace, it was probably a couple of months ago, you might not remember. It was on like a Saturday and it was like Gracie talking, who's a 14-year-old girl, and she was talking to like a 45-year-old man and they're sitting there having a conversation. Yeah. I was like, look at this. Yeah. This would never happen
anywhere
else like outside of their life. They have nothing in common.
Yeah,
nothing, but they're sitting there talking about training.
I know. It's brilliant. It really is. And everyone's so supportive. It doesn't matter whether you're just doing scale stuff or whether you're hitting the highs, but everyone is so supportive of you and clap you when you finish, even though you're dragging your ass in their last. And they don't care.
No.
Makes you feel good.
That's awesome.
My favorite thing is how many connections, like, I don't know what happens in all CrossFit gyms, but in all gyms probably, but yeah, like you guys have so much social stuff that goes on outside of this gym. Like every time I see you guys post on Instagram, it makes my little heart a bit happy.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Cool. It's really, really good.
All these people know each other now because of this place.
Yeah.
I just get a bit sad that I didn't get invited, but it also makes me happy.
we just think you guys wouldn't want to come.
I don't. I don't want to be invited. I just want to feel special.
You just want to be invited and then say, sorry, I can't make it.
Pretty much.
Pull out last minute. I did accidentally go to one over 50s event. That was at Wendy's one time. You do not want to go.
I do. I would love to go to an over 50s. Okay. I mean, I'm not over. I'll wait.
How did you accidentally go?
Well, because it was at her house and I had to go and get something from the house.
I think you were messaging me when you were there.
I think I did. It was like a Friday. It wasn't even nighttime. It was daytime. They were day drinking.
Drunk. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't go to that one.
No. They were. It was on.
I've heard some stories.
Mm-hmm.
Party like no other.
They really do.
The conversations are intense.
Yes.
What about?
Everything.
Everything and anything.
How are they? What are you intense? What are they intense about? You know what?
We really need to go there.
No, I don't want to. I'm a bit scared. Keep it to yourself. I might change how I feel about you guys.
That's all good.
Oh, that's awesome. Anything else, Lambie?
No, but yeah, we love having you.
Yeah.
You told me that you were boring.
That was great.
We were
sitting
downstairs and she was like, this is going to be so boring. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Oh, I said to her, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, stop. Fuck off. That was the longest one we've done in a while. It was 51 minutes, you know.
Oh, gosh. That went so quick.
You're not boring.
This is why I love podcasting. I say it all the time. You get like no one's looking at their phone and you can only hear each other.
Mm.
It's just like an awesome in-depth conversation and time just flies. It's so cool.
No, that was fun.
It's very good.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Do you have a question?
I do.
For Kimmy and me?
For both of you. Because we have trivia night next week.
Oh, that's my question. What are the answers?
No. I was like, what? It's my question. What's going on?
Push it up.
Did I get it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. What would be your specialist trivia topic?
Oh, it'd be trash TV.
Oh, yeah.
I am an expert on trash TV.
What define trash?
What's
trash?
Real Housewives of anything.
Ew.
Kimmy loves it.
I hate that shit.
Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, stop.
Young and the Restless.
Oh, my God.
Would you pick me for that?
No. I just think you're so cool. And then when you tell me that
what's
stuff.
The best Real Housewives? Which one?
Orange County. Okay. Real Housewives of Orange County, yeah. The New Jersey ones are full on though.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it. Like I can't watch anything I don't believe.
John walks into the room and he says, which housewives are these? And I went, I know, this is Vanderpump Rules.
So
you should know that.
I don't even know what that is. I don't even want to know. I've never heard that those words put together. I don't know what that means.
Oh,
I don't even like watching.
You need to be educated.
Real Housewives of Orange County. There you go. It's the best one.
I wonder if you like watching what I like watching or you wouldn't like it at all. So I like watching just anything like comedy based. So like I'm just trying to think of shows that everyone would know. Like do you remember Scrubs?
Yes.
Like that?
Yeah. I do like comedy.
Yeah, like Community, love the
Did
community.
You like Schitt's Creek?
Loved Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, me too.
I laughed, I cried, everything. It's such a good. I wish they kept going. I'm so sad.
Me too.
It was it's one of my favorite ever shows. Yeah. It was so good.
What about Ted Lasso?
Loved it.
That is one of the greatest TV shows
of all time.
I reckon it's my top TV show ever.
See, I don't understand how you could like that
and Brujas after and Orange County.
Also like that. Like,
see, I think I have a broad range of everything. I think you do too. Music, I'm anything? All genres.
Can I ask a question? How do you feel about the music that we play at the gym?
What are you doing, man?
I'm just curious if she likes everything.
I don't like everything.
Okay.
But I don't mind it. And okay. I find that once you start, I'm not even listening.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Have you like slipped out a few little rap lines like, oh, I know this song?
I have actually gone and put a couple of things on Spotify.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, that's good.
Like Doja Cat and that. Oh, yeah. I like that. I'm putting that on.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And Unholy when you started playing that. Oh, yeah. That
that's
here.
One of your favorite songs, isn't it?
Unholy by Sam Smith.
Yeah.
That's fucking Hannah.
Yeah.
You can thank Hannah for that one.
Yeah. So she I slipped a few of those on my Spotify list.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, that's good. See, we ain't bad.
No.
We ain't too bad.
Yeah. And I've always said, we are who we are. Don't try to change. This is what it was from the start. Don't try to change this.
Yeah.
What would your trivia specialty topic be?
I have
be?
Nothing.
Okay.
CrossFit?
Okay.
My kid.
I'm not asking any trivia questions about your kid.
So which team are you in?
She's not.
I'm just.
She's my little bitch.
I'm just
for the night.
In life.
Run and get this. Run and get that.
Pretty much. It's my fucking birthday. Yeah. And I'm the little
and
bitch.
She's working.
No, what else do I like? No, I don't. I like, you know how people are really good with trash TV? Like, I'm really bad at actors' names. Mm. I'm really bad at movie names. Like,
oh,
my retention for information that I don't need is zero. Yeah.
See, I'm the absolute opposite. Any bit of shit I keep in here and something important, I'm going, oh, did I hear about that? Know about that?
No. I don't even know what that is.
No.
It does not stay in my brain. So I feel like even though I'm not actually partaking in this trivia, I would be so bad. Mm. I'm just bad at
I don't think you would. Well, maybe at the other things, but there's a fair amount of CrossFit stuff
questions
in there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to start studying.
Start studying.
Because you know me, when it's class and I go, which movement is this? Which one's this?
Yeah, you know what? It's not going to help you. If you don't even know the movements, don't even worry about studying.
But the other questions you should be fine with.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
You know I'm competitive.
I know.
What would your specialty be?
I think vaginas. Anything to do with the pelvic floor and vaginas.
I just forgot for a second. I was like, whoa, why?
Okay. But if I had to pick a second topic, all 20 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Is there 20 seasons?
20, yeah. We're on season 20 now.
Oh, it's still going?
Yeah.
So does that mean it's been 20 years? Do seasons work in years?
I feel like it has been because I remember watching my first episode.
Yeah, probably
as
is.
A teenager.
That's pretty nuts. That's impressive.
Yeah. They're my friends.
No, they're not.
They are. They're all part
actors.
Of my life.
They're not. This is Kimmy as a prostitute. It's not real. It's the same
thing. It's real. It's the not. Young and the Restless. I have been watching that since I was at my nana's house.
Are
when
still
I was
going?
Like
the what?
Young and the Restless. Oh, 12. I have grown up with these people.
You have
I've
not.
Got old with them.
No.
They're like my family.
They're not.
I care about their
all
well-being.
Incorrect. You're both delusional and need
if someone
to see
dies
someone.
And they do often, I'm there crying.
Fuck, so funny. I think I hate it because my mum just loves it so much. So we grew up watching Home and Away. And no, we never watched Neighbours. What's the other one that was on? I don't even know. Anyway, yeah, that was her family more than us. No.
She loved those kids more than us.
She loved those. Loved all of them. No, I'm joking.
Stone the Crows.
Yeah. What was his name? Alf.
Alf.
Alf
yeah.
Stewart.
Alf Stewart.
Bloody hell. All right. Well, on that note, I want to go and stop talking about this.
See how you can slip into crap TV so easily.
Yeah. Just mindless shit. Waste of time. No, it's good. It's good.
That's where my medical degree came from.
Oh,
all right,
Dr. Candace. Yeah. All right, it's been 59 minutes now. Thank you very much, Kimmy.
Thanks,
that was
Kimmy.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And I hope to have you back on maybe at your 10-year anniversary.
Oh, sounds good.
Let's do it. All right, bye-bye. Bye.